reading from the seventh chapter of the book of Revelation. And after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in our foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Aser were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Nephilim were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of the great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes.
Brother Taylor said he read that one last time, but there was something in it that I wanted to bring out anyway, so I guess that's why the Lord let us read it over. Now, I'd like to say this just before we read. Now, it looks like you've got a good spirit tonight, and I'd like to discuss a few things with you. You know, it makes it hard, Charlie, when people come to church and they're real touching. If you ever move your voice and make it sound in any way that they perceive, that they think, you know, in their mind that you're a little haughtier, you're not, and they puff up, that's all the devil wants, you know. Instead of staying right themselves and finding no fault in that there is no fault against the Christian, it makes it hard when they come finding fault. Let me say this just before we comment on this. While I'm gone, I would like for Brother Antley, if he would, to leave off with the machines, and I talked to him about some things that I'd like for him to work with a little, if he feels like it, down at the parsonage, and devote some time to getting the chains up, and these doors hung in here or down in the restrooms or upstairs, things like that. Just whatever you can get done while we're gone, and not push yourself at it. I don't want anybody to push themselves. I just want you to take your time, and I certainly don't want you to take any of your prayer time away from God or any of that, because I have learned in my life, that in my lifetime, that there's plenty of time to do all the natural and that's necessary, and plenty of time left still to pray and seek God. I know that for sure. And so I just want you to take your time and not rush and rest and to seek the Lord and just enjoy it. Now, if you have a few minutes tonight to spare, I'd like to discuss something with you that might solve some questions in your mind. There is a big dispute over this particular thing. A lot of people say that it's like this and that and the other, and our leading evangelists, I have heard them discuss it. There's a problem over it right now, and I've heard them discuss it. And it seems like they just can't get together. As a matter of fact, I had a man come to my home not too long ago and spent way over in the morning discussing it with me. And he had such positive proof of his convictions until there had been no way to have answered him if there hadn't have been a real truth somewhere. There would have been no way. I don't mean his was a hit and a miss. I mean his was line upon line, almost down to the jot and the tittle. And it was convincing. But when we brought up one particular thing, after all of his efforts that night, it stopped him to where he couldn't do nothing. He never could answer. So he left pondering. In the seventh chapter, I want you to notice something here. Now, I want you to notice this real good. I want you to listen. You young boys and girls, now, this is something you really need to know. I want you to listen real good now. Now, you notice it said that after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth. Now, we went into that the other night, the four winds. I got a tape on it here, and we briefly spoke on it. Now, I want you to notice, I pointed out in our discussion a few things as to create in your mind a real confirmation on what I had elaborated on in the service. I said that this had to be at a specific time to prove what I was saying. When I called it a certain thing, I felt out in the audience there was a lot of questions arose in the people's minds. And I took a little time in its own tape to prove that it was that particular thing and that it was at a certain time, and that's what caused it to be there. Now, that was concerning the four winds. And if you notice these four winds, this thing took place right after the sixth seal was open. This happened when the sixth seal was open. This happened. Now, listen to that again now. And when I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, now remember there's four beasts around the throne, and they went to announce these seals. And when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. Now, I want you to listen to this, because this is really going to happen. This is really, truly going to happen. You're going to see this world that you're in right now start reeling and rocking just like that. There's going to be a great reeling and a rocking, and it's going to be such a shaking as it starts until it's going to scare people, slap out of their minds. It's just going to start like this, and it's going to shake. The Bible said in the days of Moses, Paul referring back to it, that in that day I shook the earth. Now, but he spoke of shaking again. Paul said, thus signifying the removing of those things that can be shaken, that those things, Brother Charlie, that cannot be shaken might remain. Now, Paul said, none of these things shake me or move me. Now, if you can be shaken, you're going to be in trouble. This is what I tell you a lot of times. I got a lot of people that can be shaken. People tell them one thing. A lot of times we have an evangelist in here, and maybe I told you something, got you indoctrinated in the Word, and I think I really got you. And then an evangelist get up here, and he just gets you all balled up and twisted up. Maybe he's just a young fellow running through that needs help himself, and usually comes back and confesses it, and we have to help him. Now, and some of you get all shook up. But now, see, the Bible said everything that can be shaken, he's going to send somebody through to shake it, or something through to shake it. If you can be shaken by television, you can be sure that he's going to put some in the land. If you can be shaken by lust, or by covetousness, or envy, or by strife, or by malice, or desire of worldly goods, or intellectual reasoning, or by false doctrine, or whatever it is, God will send somebody through, and it's going to get you sooner or later. The first one might not get you, the second one might not get you, but one of them will get you. But now, if you are altogether founded on the Word of God, in the faith of Jesus Christ, nothing will be able to shake you, nothing. Then when all of these shakings is over, then you'll be all right. Like when Elijah run from Jezebel, he got out there in the cave, and the Bible said a wind just came by and it just rent the rocks, but it didn't shake Elijah. Then a fire came sweeping through, but it didn't shake Elijah. Elijah knew the voice of God. He didn't shake and tremble and say, oh my, God just went by. He didn't do that. That didn't move him. He knew the voice of God. He was acquainted with the voice of God. The Bible said, my sheep know my voice. And he kept waiting and kept waiting. And after a while, the Bible said, all the paths of God are peace. After a while, a peaceful thing began to take place. And a small, still, peaceable voice began to say, Elijah, Elijah, what are you doing out here? Now, see, I said that to say this. When this sixth seal was opened, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell, saying, I shall not only shake those things on earth as I did when the mountain shook in the days of Moses, but I will also shake heaven this time. And this time, the shaking will be so strong that even the stars will fall. The heavens just rolled open like a scroll. It said every mountain and island was moved out of their places. And the heavens departed as a scroll when it was rolled together. Now, the chief captains, the bondsmen, the freemen, and all them begin to run for the dens and the caves. Now, all the way through the book of Revelation, this continues to happen. Earthquakes and lightnings and thunderings and God pulling out his wrath. I'm going to tell you what I think about it, what I understand about it. If I'm wrong, well, you can pray for me. But this is what I understand. When God made man and put him in the garden, he made man upright. You've heard me teach this. He made man upright, and man, because of sin, got tilted on his axis. Now, God, in everything God does, he does it in symbols and types and shadows. If the major creation of God gets tilted, then God has to follow that thing through. Now, in heaven, there was a tilt. In the physical world, there was a tilt. In the natural world, there was a tilt. Scientists say that the world is tilted on its axis, which would automatically make the sun, in its reviving, would automatically make it, they say the world turning, automatically make it to where that the sunshine would not hit the world as it ordinarily would hit it. Boy, if it hit it right down as it ought to hit it, there would be no shadows around it, but right up under it, which would be, we call it the land of fire, Del Fuego, they call it, down at the South Pole, underneath here, that would be where the shadows would be. In other words, God would cut off everything that was of darkness and drive into that one place of burning in symbols and types and shadows. But with it tilted on its axis, when man was no longer upright, then man's world had to get tilted. It was no longer upright. And then the heaven, or the Godhead, had to become tilted. That is to say, now you say, well, Brother Pike, the Godhead couldn't be tilted, but it was, because a third part of it, Jesus, was made sin. He that knew no sin was made sin. It got into darkness to where the light couldn't hit that third part of it. Jesus was separated to show the tilt. In this light moving around the earth like it does, the light couldn't hit it except at an angle as it turned around like this. Now, I believe that's why we get the glaciers that we get, the ice glaciers, and all of this over in Alaska and different places.
You know, like the moon, when it's hot on one side, it's cold on another side. Well, that's the same way man is. Man's hot on one side, cold on the other side. As long as the world is in a tilt, it'll always be that way. When it's dark on one side, we say the land of the midnight sun, and it's light on the other side. So it has to work that way, because the light can't fully come down like it needs to on the world. Now, if I could see the light of God fully like I want to see it, then there wouldn't be any types or shadows. The Bible said we see through a glass darkly now because we are tilted. That is, we see through an intellectual expression of God. We comprehend God through intellectual reasoning by types and by shadows. And the shadows are called because we're tilted, and the sunlight of the gospel doesn't hit us straight in the face. Now, if you notice, when the sunlight is right straight up over you at high noon, your shadow is right under you. Is that right? It's neither in front of you nor in back of you. But if you're tilted, if the sun's hitting you at a tilt, then you got shadows around you. Now, as long as there's a shadow, that's a symbol of Satan. Now, you can tell as a shadow comes down a road, you can get some idea of the image, but you can't tell altogether because it might be long, it might be short, it might be out of proportion. But types and shadows will tell you pretty well the mind of God. Now, what I'm saying is this, if it got overhead at high noon, then the shadow which represents Satan would be under your feet. You'd be walking over Satan, treading on serpents, the Bible said, putting him in his place. Or if it gets in the front of you, put it behind you. The Bible said, say, then get behind me, Satan. So everything is working that way. Now, if you notice in the morning, the sun comes up in this direction. See, we say if it comes up in this direction, then we'll throw the shadow in the wrong direction. If it come up behind us, it would throw the shadow in the wrong direction. But we stand there after a while, it comes up, it throws the shadow in the right direction as it goes down. All right, now, what I'm saying is that if everything is tilted on its axis, this would account for it. Now, I believe that the flood or the deluge in the days of Noah over in the eastern world, the Bible said that every high hill under heaven was covered up. Now, when we think about that, we think of America, too, because it's a place. We think all the hills of America was covered up. But there's one thing about it. America never had been discovered at that time. See, that was the world, and this is called the New World over here. Now, we could speculate a lot on that, but we don't want to do that. We don't want to try to change the world. But a world consists of a man's thinking. Whatever he thinks, well, that's his world. So when a man writes, that's the way he writes. But now, we know this, that the deluge did take place over there. That much we're sure of. Now, it's possible that that could have caused the world to go into its tilt. It's possible that this could have happened. Some strange phenomenon, some way that scientists doesn't understand, caused the world to get into a tilt. Now, if this is true, then that means that man is out of harmony with God. He's at a tilt, which means he's cold on one side, hot on the other. Paul said, in my heart, inside, my spiritual man, he said, I have a desire to be with God, which is far better. And he said, I have a will, but I can't get a performance in the outer man. In my outer man, I'm cold. In my inner man, I'm hot. Now, if you are intellectually smart in your outer man, then you're spiritually cold in your inner man. If you are intellectually foolish for Christ's sake in your outer man, then you're cold out there and you're hot in your inner man. In other words, one way or another, you're tilted on your axis. That is to say, you're not upright with God. You're not walking upright with God. Man was upright with God, but when he got away from God, he was tilted on his axis. Now, he was no longer upright with God when that mind of knowledge came in. Now, I believe this in my heart. I believe this. The book of Revelation says that the islands moved out of their places, the mountains moved out of their places, and it said the stars fell from heaven, and there was a great earthquake, and all of these different things took place. I believe that this has to do with the bomb. I believe it has to do with the atom bombs, hydrogen bombs, and these different things. Because Peter said, ye are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. And said, seeing that the elements shall be on fire. Now, how many of you know that the hydrogen bomb is taken from the elements? That's what it is. It's elements. When you get these bombs exploding, it's elements. It's atoms. It's a chain reaction of atoms and things that's explosive, and it's the elements that's on fire. Peter said, seeing that the elements shall be on fire, what manner of person ought we to be in all holy conversation, looking and hastening unto the coming of the Lord? Now, if this is true, then I believe that after the 3 years of tribulation, the last 6 months of the tribulation, 3.5 years, God apparently reserves to himself to pour out his wrath upon the Antichrist. Now, during the time that these things take place, this is what I believe. I believe that over here in the United States, I believe that they'll bomb this part of the world over here. The reason I believe that is because civilization starts in the East, and like a sunrise of civilization, religion does the same. It comes up, it circles the globe, and it comes over in a real revival around the world. Then when it gets over here in the Western world, it goes down in a blood sunset, bloodshed of racial conflict and trouble. And let me say this so it won't be confusing to you. There is the Jew with the Old Testament, the Gentile with the New Testament, the church with the book of Revelation, because they are a church of Revelation. Now, the Protestant is always the church. The Catholics denote the Gentile because all the Gentiles of the world wonders at the Catholic. Now, if we say Jew, Catholic, and Protestant, then we say 1, 2, 3 dimensions. Just like you teach a kid in school, first dimension, second dimension, third dimension, all types and shadows. Now, if we take America, that's the third dimensional act of God. Is that right? Now, if it's the third dimensional act of God, then in the third dimension, God breaks it down into 1, 2, 3, just exactly like he does the all over. Every dimension can be broke down into a 1, 2, 3. Now, I showed Brother Taylor and him some things today. They recorded on little cards. Is that right, Brother Taylor? And it's really amazing, isn't it, the way it breaks down. There'll be some charts on it when Brother Antley gets around to where he can draw. But anyway, what I'm saying is this. These things is what unlocks the mysteries of God. This is what unlocks the mysteries of God. This is what the prophets saw. That's why the prophets was continually telling of the things that was to come. The Holy Ghost, which is the full knowledge of God, will show you things to come. He'll reveal to you, and you can find your place in God. Paul said, I went up to visit with Peter by revelation. How did he know that? See, how could Paul go up to visit with Peter by revelation? It was revealed to him. He found out just exactly what he was supposed to do. You can move by revelation, and if you don't know that, you just have to move by faith, which God got, like Brother Ted, he got excited the other day. He said, Brother Pop said, seeing that he found his place in Revelation, in our discussion. He said, now, seeing this, he said, God was using me all the time. I said, that's right. I said, whether you know what God's doing or not, God's still doing it. Because the Bible said, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. He's still maneuvering you around. And you do just exactly what he wants you to do. If you get a new car, it was absolutely the will of God. Just like Brother Charlie got the VW wagon, it won't be long, and Lord being willing, I believe I can tell you by revelation exactly why he had to get it. It'll be just exactly right. He couldn't have got anything else. Now, of course, Brother Charlie got what he wants. He's sovereign. That was his design. God always gives us our desire. But the only thing is, the Bible said the preparation of a man's heart comes from God. He creates the desire. Now, so what I'm saying is, God knows how to do it. We don't know how to do it. He can, somebody say, he'll give you a whipping and make you glad. Well, he can give you something and make you glad you got it. And I don't know why you got it, but he can make you glad. All right, now, say that the third dimension. All right, the ruling, when the pilgrims landed over in Jamestown, Virginia, Plymouth Rock, they landed there and they went from there to the west. Is that right? Now, how did the Lord get them out there? That was barren country. It was death, Indians, trouble. But how did he get them out there? One way. The love for money will make them do anything. That's the root to all the evil. He started the gold rush. He just placed the gold out in the west to carry his plan. When that gold rush come, people just left their homes and everything and rushed out there to get rich. A lot of them met their death. But anyway, the ones that was to get through, God got them through. He did that to get them over to the west. Now, at the right time, he'll let California sink into the ocean. All the trouble start out there to drive them back to the east. Now, the reason he done that is just like the Jews. He let all the trouble start in the eastern world to drive civilization this way. He let the Catholics start killing out the Jew and killing out the people and killing out the church and persecuting the church to drive them, that types and shadows might be shown. Like in 70 A.D., Titus. He let that weight come down on Titus, on the people from Titus. And Titus, he thought he was just a big conqueror, and he was going in there by the command of his leaders. He was going there, he's going to take over Jerusalem and make himself a big name. But when he got in there was such a killing, such murder, such slaughter, until Titus just threw his hands up, so to speak, and said, "My God," he said, "God's doing this." He said, "God, I'm not responsible for all of this bloodshed." People were just killing people everywhere, and it even shook him up. So, see, the Lord drove them out to where they would start moving and discover this part of the country. So they did it. They did it. Now, in a 1, 2, 3, so they have to do the same thing in the third dimension. Start in the east, go west, then come back to the west. It moves, if you'll listen real close to this now, it moves in an intellectual move, or a move of the pilgrims in the natural, tangible side of life. It moves in a historical move in the beginning from the eastern world to the west. That's where civilization come up. But it always goes back out of the veil. That's God in the veil. Whatever God does in the natural is God moving in the veil, and every church it's set up is always an intellectual formality. But it's still God indoctrinating men with the letter. But now after he finishes that course completely, all the types is set down, all the shadows is laid down. Like a teacher, he'll let you read and read and read and read until he gets you thoroughly indoctrinated in your mind with the letter. Then he'll take your book away from you and he'll start giving you a test. Now see, when the veil passes away, then it's a spiritual reaction from then on. It goes back from the west to the east, and it's out of the veil. It's not in the veil then, but it's out of the veil, and it goes back a spiritual thing. It comes over a natural thing, a historical thing. It goes back a spiritual thing, or a religious thing. Now, while it's moving from the east to the west, it means it's a dying process. You always die. That's unto death. But when he starts from the west back to the east, that's life. Going back to life. The sun comes around, this gospel sunlight to set over here in the western world. Then he'd go all the way back around and come back up in the eastern world in the sunrise of resurrection for the Jews when he's finished with the Gentiles. Now, there's a lot I'd like to say tonight, but I couldn't possibly go into it. But when I get into Revelation, things really start coming. And I know my time is limited as to what I can say. But anyway, I will try to say this much. Coming to the cross, from the garden to the cross, coming to the cross, that is in the veil. That'll make us understand it better. That's in the veil, because we know the rending of the veil was at Calvary. That's coming to the veil. Everything is in the veil. Back to God working in the veil. Is that right? All right, now, when you get to Calvary, the Lord cuts the Jews off. Now, why does he cut the Jews off? Because that's the veil. The Jews is God in the veil. Is that right? Now, that's types and shadows. But now, when you leave Calvary, you go all the way around to the tribulation period, which is the next cross, where Christ comes back again. Is that right? The Jews go through the tribulation, a dying process again. But this time, he cuts the Gentiles off and goes back to the Jews. He cuts the Jews off first to get into the Gentiles, makes a cycle, he comes back around, he cuts the Gentiles off then to get to the Jews. Now, is that right? All right, does that agree with the Scriptures? All right, now, Paul said, grafted in by wild by nature, he'll cut him off and graft in the other. That the woman is represented by the West. How many of you know that? The Western world is the woman. Is that right? Oh, how many of you know that the east is represented by the man? And you say, how do you come up with that? Well, Revelation shows it, but some natural thing here to where we can see it. In this world over here that we're in, the Western world, isn't this called the woman's world, America? Is that right? If you don't believe it's a woman's world, you just go to court. Like a judge told me one time, he said, as sure as a man come before me with a woman, he said, the man's had it. I mean, he's told me flat, that's the way it is. Well, that ain't justice, but that's the way it is in America. All right, well, over in the Eastern world, that wasn't that way. The man ruled over there. The man ruled. See, it wasn't that way. When a man is in rule, things are spiritual. When a woman's in rule, things are natural. It always goes that way. Because a woman is the weaker vessel, and she's made to love the things of this world in that sense. Unless she can conform to her husband, it's always that way. As long as the church is ruled by women, and not saying anything against the woman, because women are good. Jesus Christ came by Mary. That's good. Now, so no reproach to the women, but it's just God's ordained plan. As long as the church is that way, it'll always be a failure. But when it comes to the male, which is headship, it'll always be right. It'll come back right. Now, I say this too. When the gospel is preached, men will be converted. When the true light of the gospel shows, Brother Charlie, the wicked cannot sit in the congregation of righteous. They'll either repent, go crazy, or get out or something. We've not had anybody to come into the presence of this thing that's going on out here. Businessmen, rich men, whatever it is, but what it tears them all to pieces. They either, even the man, the IBM, that's selling us the IBM, he done got so under conviction that he acts like he don't care about his job or nothing else as long as we're satisfied out here. Is that right? Right today? Now, all he wants to do is talk about God. And as a matter of fact, I made the statement today, he's single. I made the statement today, he said he was looking for a wife. Said he couldn't find a wife and couldn't find honest people either. And said he was looking for somebody who would be a real wife. You know, got a lot of women. We got some women here that's married that's not wives. They don't obey their husbands. Now, but anyway, the rule come from the east over to the west. It came from the man over to the woman. Isn't that right? Is that right? Coming from, you know, I say this. Some of you have such little desire for revelation and understanding till I know that you're not going to make the rapture. I know that you're not. I know that you're not. Some of you have a keen interest in revelation and the Word of God. But some of you have such little understanding and desire, you could care less, as the world says, about what God thinks. And that is the revealed thoughts of God. That's what revelation is. I'm going to say this to you tonight. How many of you know that revelation is the only thing that raptures? Amen. See, translation is a rapture. Is that right? A rapture is a translation. And the only thing can do that is the unveiled mind of God. Not the veiled mind of God. If the veiled mind of God could do it, the church had done it in rapture because it had the veiled mind of God. See, the Bible said the mind of Christ is in you. But the unveiled mind raptures you. That's why you're not going to make it. I know you're not going to make it. See, because you never come to that place yet in your life. All right, now, saying this this little more here, the ruling factor. Now, I want to say this. I just picked up something in the Spirit just then. There's a man sitting here that you didn't like what I said just a few minutes ago. And you know why you didn't like it? I'll tell you why you didn't like it. Because of your wife. You thought that it displeased your wife, and you didn't like it. That's right, you didn't. You didn't like it. And she didn't like it much, but she didn't say nothing. But you trying to feel for her, jumped right into the hands of the devil. I want you to know that. I just picked it up as I started to pass on that. All right, now, I want you to get this. You're going to let that woman cause you to be lost. Watch and see what I'm telling you. She's dominated you and ruled you. And you've let it go on to her hurt, and you're going to let her cause you to be lost if you don't quit being a baby. You're a man, but you're acting like a baby. And God's displeased with you. He's really displeased with you because of your attitude toward women. You've got the wrong attitude toward women, and God's displeased with you for it. You're going to cause a lot of trouble before it's over if you don't watch out. Now, you see this thing The rule came to the woman, and everything went into a mess, a fix. It got into a fix. But the Lord, now when I say woman, it means it comes from the Jew over to America, which means the flesh. It came from the spiritual mind of God that was given to Moses. It came from that ruling over to an intellectual law and government that the flesh set up. The flesh is always the woman. The flesh is always the woman. The spirit is always the man. It came over to a fleshly generation. The Gentiles always seek after the things of the world. The Bible said salvation is of the Jew, said for the Gentiles seek after the things of this world. Is that Bible? So when it came to the Gentiles, came to the flesh, everything got in a mess. But God took a people out of the Gentiles for his namesake, which was a bride. Now he's got that bride, and when Jacob got his bride, he went right back to his father's house. Now, what I'm saying is this, the ruling authority has to go back to the east. That brings me around to what I want to say, and I'm going to close after this. Coming back around, it has to go back to the Jew. That makes me believe that God will tear this country up to drive civilization back over to the east. Because when God sets the millennium up, he's going to set it up from the east. Because he's going to set it up with a Jew. The Jew will be the head of the nation. They were made the tail because they rejected the word. Now, they'll be made the head because they're going to cry out to God at the wailing walls like they're doing now. He told them in Deuteronomy 28 and 29 chapter, he said, if you obey me, I'll make you the head. If you don't, he said, I'll make you the tail. Now he said, you'll lend to many nations if you obey me. America took their blessing through the spiritual Jew, loaned to many nations. Now they're becoming the tail because they rejected. The Bible said that righteousness exalted a nation. Is that right? Not just a people. But the Bible said righteousness exalted the nation. George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, all those, they were responsible for the exaltation of our nation. But he said a sin is a reproach to any people. Now, so our nation is fallen, it's not exalted anymore because it's lost out. Now, it didn't say intellectual power, knowledge, education, money would exalt a nation, did it? No, God raises up and God puts down. Now, if you'll notice, if they dropped the bums on this side of the world, that would be all it would take. If it's tilted at the right angle, that would be all it would take to make that world come up right again. Is that right? Now, why would it come up right? Because when God gets a second Adam, now Jesus Christ the resurrected was the second Adam. He represented the first Adam in his flesh. We know him after the flesh, don't know him more after the flesh, but as a quickening spirit. Now, he can't be the second Adam, as far as the resurrected part of him, until he perfects a body to live in. When he gets a perfect body, that'll be a perfect Adam. He'll be back upright again. Now, when Adam gets upright again, then that means all of the world's got to come upright again. Now why? Because for the millennium cannot be tilted. It's got to be upright to be the garden. That's what brings the garden is the sunshine hitting it just right. It's got to be just right for God to do what he wants to do with it. Now it's got to come upright again. And in the dropping of those bums, it's going to shake things according to what I understand. When it does, it's going to flip back upright again. Just like it went over, it's going to flip back upright again to bring in the millennium. He's going to do this during the tribulation period. He'll do it during the tribulation period because everything will be over. And during that time, he'll let Antichrist have his regime that last 6 months, tear things all up, set it up right for the millennium. Now, with this setting up right, man being upright, setting up right, then that means heaven will be upright again. Jesus will take his rightful place as ruler in this earth. Again, it'll be upright. But here's what I'm saying. This is what I believe happened when John saw the vision. John said, I saw the islands move out of their places. I saw the mountains move out of their places. Scientists have proven, and you've seen pictures of it in school, that underneath the ocean, that there's mountains and there's islands that one time was up out of the water, but now they're in the water. And the islands that are up now and mountains that are up now was one time under the water. It's been proven it all around that we're in the water. Now, when that world got tilted, it brought that up and put the other down. But John said, I saw the islands move out of their places. So if the world is bummed and tilts again, then the islands which are up above the water will go back down in the water, and the mountains will go down in the water, and this will come out of the water, and see, it will be the islands and the mountains moving out of their places. John said, I saw them do this. Whole thing went into a convulsion where they move in and out like that. And he said, I saw the islands just move out of their places. I saw the mountains move out of their places. Now, he said when he saw this, that was when everything was shaken. Everything was shaken. I hope I made this clear enough to where it ain't confusing. We're just having a discussion just to talk to our people. And I want to do this because we're going to have people coming in from all around the different parts of the country. They're writing saying, we're coming, we're coming, and we're coming. And they will come. They will come. And I want our people to understand and be real attentive when revivals and conventions and things are going on. I want them to be real attentive, and I want them to listen. And I want them to have an answer when other people come seeking help from them. You ladies, there's going to be women. Sometimes already women come to you, different ones that come in, and they need help. But some of you are so jealous you can't do nothing for them. Some of you are so selfish and so self-centered, you stay in a gossiping attitude and that you don't have time to do nothing for God. You stay upset with your husband when they come into your home. You're just puffing and pouting until you can't be an example unto them to obey their husband and do the other things and obey the word, because you stay upset at your husband all the time. You understand what I'm saying? But you need to understand these things so you can help them. God's going to require it of you in the day of judgment. Bible said, let the elderly women teach the younger to be discreet, chaste, good housekeepers, all these things. God said, do that. Love their husbands. Said, teach them to love their husbands. And it's hard to teach them to love their husband if you don't love yours. Teach them to obey their husbands in all things. That's your job. God commanded you to do that. Now, you can be a servant for Christ and have reward if you'll do it. All right, let's stand together. Now, thank you for your attention tonight. And I hope that you understand. I just talk to you like this because it's so hard to get things like this over preaching. But I do want you to understand. I don't know. Maybe you already understand. Maybe you already know. If you do, well, I'm glad. But there's always somebody that don't know. And these are the ones that I'm talking to. I'm not talking to you that know. When I say that, Jesus said, what I say to one, I say unto all. I'm telling all of you. Peter said, though you know these things, I feel it meet to stir them up in your mind. You might forget them. Sometimes they get dull. The more you talk about them, the more they're right there when you go to tell somebody. But the thing is, I'm speaking to them that don't know, trying to help them to get a new lease on life and to be able to help somebody. So don't get restless. Don't get out of sorts, but be a good soldier. The Bible said endure hardships like a good soldier. Some of you can't even endure if I raise my voice, or the preacher raises his voice, or if he says anything cutting and chastening in any way, if he acts any way like you don't want him to act, you can't even endure that. Some of you can't even endure sitting on the bench for 30 minutes or an hour. Some of you just can't endure nothing. You don't have no perseverance. God commanded us to have perseverance. That's Bible. But some of you don't have any perseverance. If some little something happens, you get melancholy and you sit down and you brood over it and just get all tore up, that's no perseverance. That's no good. Or you get temperamental and you fly up and you say something, curse your neighbor out or tell them, I'll give them a piece of my mind, that's no perseverance. That's no perseverance. That's no good. Gossiping, what you thinking, that's no good. You'll never make it like that. I tell you in the name of the Lord, Paul said, I tell you as I told you before, they that do these things, he said, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Shall not. Now, I'm going to say this, I'm trying to close. A lot of people don't understand that getting the kingdom is an inheritance. Flesh and blood, he said, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Is that right? And you know what he meant by that? One thing is through intellectual reasoning, you'll never come in contact with the Spirit. through intellectual reason, through human ego, human strength, you'll never do it. It wasn't made for that. It was made for this world. That's the image of the earthly that we bear. But through the medium of translation, if we can have the mind of Christ, the mind of Christ was made for the other man, the inner man, just like the beast mind was made for the outer man. And if we can come into the mind of Christ, it'll break this little cocoon and it'll bring that beautiful, glorified creature out on the inside in all of his brilliance. He'll come out. And that mind will translate us so that we won't be flesh and bones, but we'll be a quickening spirit. We'll be a quickening spirit. God will make us a quickening spirit. We can inherit the kingdom. We can inherit the kingdom through the medium of power of translation. We can do it. We can do it. That's why I try to get you to listen to Revelation. Revelation is the mind of Christ unveiled, whereas your mind is the beast mind. Until you can get out of that, you're in bondage. And all these things I speak to you about, strife, envy, malice, falsehood, I can't speak to you spirituals. Said this is envy, strife, malice. Are you not yet carnal or fleshly, he said. And to be carnal minded is to be beastly minded, that's to be dead. He said, you're still in death. See, it's got to be an inheritance. How many of you understand what I'm saying? You got to inherit the kingdom. It's within you. You believe your spirit into a oneness with it. It comes into you and you into it, and you become eternal in your inner man. And then in the process of time, it is manifested through your blood genetics in the outer man. This thing of just waiting around for the rapture to take place because you belong to the church or your daddy was a Baptist or something, or whatever it might be, that's no good. You're not going to make the rapture like that. You've got to be translated right here by the renewing of your mind. You've got to inherit the kingdom right here. You've got to become eternal right here. And then once that job's done, once God gets his group, they're all in the ark then. Then he won't. Now, you say, well, Brother Platt, why doesn't the end come if some of us are already like that? Some of us are like that. But the last one has got to do that, and then the end will come. The end will come. Is that right, Brother Charlie? I've heard Charlie say it a number of times, the last one has got to come in. All right, let's sing this little chorus, They Come from the East and the West. They come from the East and the West. They come from the lands of war to feast with the King, to dine as his guest. How blessed these pilgrims are, beholding how faith, a glorious life divine, blessed partakers of this grace, as gems in his crown to shine. You know, the world knows nothing of what we're saying here. Some of our least people in the Word is greater than some of the greatest Bible scholars they've got out there. They've already proven that by meeting some of them. The Bible said in that city, there'll be no light. No light. You know why? Because it said the revelation is the light thereof. The Lamb. The Lamb. He's the light of that city. Paul said, the eyes of the understanding being enlightened. That's the light. That's the heavenly light. There's a natural light that's a type to show a heavenly light. A natural man to show a heavenly man. You understand what I'm saying? A natural world in every way to show a spiritual world. You belong to one or two. You belong to one or two. If you are an intellectual man, you belong to this world. If you are of the mind of Christ, you belong to that world. If you are a man of revelation, you belong to that world. If you're a man of natural understanding, you belong to this world. You're either beastly or heavenly. All right, let's just lift our hands up and praise the Lord for just a minute. We'll be dismissed.